content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in, and welcome to Spiritually Raw, where you can find us here on BBS Radio every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, I want to remind you, if you would like to amplify your influence with worldwide media exposure, be our featured guest, be heard on more than hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations, live radio streaming in over 36 countries, and some of the most trafficked social media networks and largest podcast portals on the planet. Yes, yes, yes. Then all you have to do is text the word guest to 91096. You'll receive a link to our guest questionnaire and also get a free copy of our Secrets to Interview Riches. Thank you. Thank you very, very much, everybody. All right, right on. Okay, so it's always, hey, happy daylight savings, everybody.
And yay!
If it applies to you, right? Yeah. I like it, too. I do, too.
So much better.
Me, too. They made a law here that they were going to do it, and then they just never enacted. They didn't pass it. Who cares? Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, we've got more important things to talk about, right? So let's talk about our next guest.
I want to talk about Michael Black.
All right, right on.
Author of Happy Endings and Happy Endings and New Beginning. He's an inspirational and motivational speaker. Michael has found his voice after keeping silent for too long. He's a survivor of multiple years of child sexual assault by three separate men outside his family unit. From that trauma came on an early onset addiction to sex, which subsequently then became one with his 14-year love affair with drugs. And you know what? He turned over a new leaf called sobriety. Michael's story is one of defeat and victory. He survived the AIDS epidemic, child sexual assault, abuse, rape, survivor to meth, cocaine, and even heroin, and conquered 4 months of aggressive chemotherapy. He's been through a lot, let me tell you something. Michael, but that's not even half of it. Michael was married to a woman, divorced rather quickly, lived the gay life, and then had two committed relationships with men. You know what? Today, he's back to happily married to his beautiful wife, who he says completes him. Wow. Michael is aspiring to share his passion for life through his writing and public speaking. He reveals intimate details of his lifelong journey, and it's his hope and prayer for his book, Happy Endings and a New Beginning, is by highlighting his own choices that others might be more cognizant of their own. He encourages people to think before and acting and understanding, and understand that he is a work in progress. Michael Black is living proof of higher power and prayer changes things.
All right, let's welcome Michael to the show.
He has quite an extensive history.
All right. Don't rush the stage, everybody. You know, it's all right. Here he is.
First of all, congratulations on finding your voice.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Let's.
That was a nice introduction.
Listen, man, well deserved. So listen, let's just dive right in. So get our audience to get to know you. Yeah.
Sure.
Survivor of multiple years, child sexual assault by three separate men outside your family unit. I mean, tell us about your first sexual experience at four. I mean, what triggered that experience within you?
Well, sadly, I remember being a little boy, 4 years of age, as you said, out playing with my cousins. I grew up on a street where it was filled with my cousins, filled with family. And I can remember we played ball, we rode bikes. And I remember that particular day, like it was yesterday, being called in to an apartment. It's the apartment of my aunt where her boyfriend lived with her. My mother and her sister were out doing what sisters do and left us in the care of the sitter, my aunt's boyfriend. And when I reached the apartment, I remember it being a very dark, the shades had been pulled. It was real dark, which I was used to being so light. And walking in, I knew something was up. That first sexual experience, he played a game with me. You know, kids like games. And though I had an idea of what was going on, oddly enough, at such a young age, I was sexually violated during that however long it was. The abuse went on several times after that. I've got to say, though, that when I was born into this world, I was born into a life of a single mother. I'm not saying that my experiences are the same as other children who didn't have a father present, but I think for myself, that first sexual experience was bonding time with a man. It's something that I lacked, that male role model in my life. And I think that for a child, any attention is good attention. And I think that I was drawn to the fact that I liked it. I liked the abuse, attention, if you will. And that is what kept me coming back for more. And it happened multiple times. And then after that, twice after that, by a couple other men. I was sexually violated for the vast majority of my life. It began, like as you said, at age 4, and it ended when I became an adult at 18.
Wow.
So it was multiple years of sexual abuse. And again, I liked it at the time. You know, I didn't see it. I knew it was wrong, but I didn't realize that the impact that it would have on my life later.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. What do you think goes on through somebody's head to diddle with a little child?
You know, I can't even begin to comprehend that. I don't have children of my own. But yeah, I can't fathom. I've worked with children over the years, like in nurseries at church or with the little kids doing Sunday school, and I watch them. In fact, I'm currently, my wife, current wife and I are involved in a church, and she's in with the kids, the nursery, and I'm in with the 2, 3, and 4-year-olds, ironically. And I sit back sometimes and watch, and I think I can't even begin to wrap my brain around what it is about a 2, 3, 4-year-old that sick and twisted mind just doesn't comprehend for me. What's sad with pedophilia, that's exactly what it is that so often I think the scars are transferred onto the scars of the abuser are transferred onto its victim. I don't think that people stop and think about the choices that they're making and how those choices can affect either themselves or those in the lives of people around them. So, April, I can't even begin to fathom what goes on in the mind of a pedophile, other than I do know that oftentimes pedophilia is transferred down to its victims.
When you say that, Michael, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but when you say transferred down to his victims, can you explain what you mean by that?
Sure. Pedophilia is, there's a saying that if you've been abused, oftentimes you become the abuser, meaning that you start abusing. For myself, I've never been able to comprehend it. Now, look, as you said in your introduction, I've had an addiction to sex. However, I've never reached out to a child. It just doesn't, I don't know what it is with a grown man or woman that is attracted to a child. So I can't even begin to comprehend that.
Good for you, brother.
Were they ever prosecuted?
Well, ironically, about 2006, I was well into my 40s then. I'd gotten word that my second pedophile, there were three, as you mentioned earlier, was in possession of child pornography. They were never prosecuted. None of them were. For one, the statute of limitations had far surpassed. Now, in recent time, the statute of limitations has been lifted, but it doesn't go back to those who were abused, maybe in the Catholic Church. But my second abuser I learned was in possession of child pornography. It's kind of a long, convoluted story, but his nephew had shared this information with me. He also shared with me that he, too, had been sexually violated by the same man in which I was violated. It was his uncle.
Mm.
We then went to the city police department, and my mother, who came along with us, and the nephew of my abuser and myself gave a long report that that this pedophile was in possession of child pornography. The police took it serious. Mm-hmm. They ended up getting subpoenas. They ended up raiding his house. And sure enough, they were able to find a lot of child pornography that he had been in possession of.
Wow, great. Michael, hold that thought for me. We got to take a quick break. A word from our sponsor. We'll be right back, everybody. Okay, more with Michael. Happy endings and a new beginning with author and motivational speaker Michael J. Black. Michael is the star of his own true and heartbreaking drama. Michael shares his journey through snippets of his life, crushing moments that should have taken his life, and spirit-filled moments in his talks with God. Michael shares how his faith kept coming back to him, ultimately allowing him to rise above like a phoenix and charge forward with amazing intensity. There are no regrets for Michael, as the darker the night, the lighter the daybreak is. Order your copy of Michael J. Black's book, Happy Endings and a New Beginning, available at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. Michael's story is one of defeat and victory. Michael J. Black is living proof that higher power and prayer changes everything. Pick up your copy of Happy Endings and a New Beginning today, again at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. That's Michael J. Black, author of Happy Endings and a New Beginning, available at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com.
Live stutter-free and drop your fears of public speaking in only 3 days. Do you feel that your speech gets blocked sometimes? Have you tried methods that promised a solution to only find out that you've wasted your time, money, and your hope? I'm Anna Dieter, Echelon Unblocking Master, Speech Educator, and International Author. Whether you call yourself a person who stutters or not, I have a 100% guaranteed solution for you. Over 10,000 students worldwide live stutter-free today, and so will you. You'll also eliminate any of your speech deficiencies and fears of public speaking with Echelon Speech Unblocking. Finally, you'll be able to say anything you want, anywhere, anytime,
other people do
with
that.
Clarity and confidence in only 3 days. Go to www.livestutterfree.org.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. And we are here with Mr. Michael J. Black. So, Michael, where you left off before we had to go to break, as you were telling us the fate of the pedophiles.
Yeah, my second pedophile. So the police were able to, our FBI were able to confiscate his computers. Back then, they were floppy disk, but he had a lot of them. Why it was important to me was because I remember him taking a photo of me as a kid, and I wasn't sure that I wasn't already out there on the internet somewhere, and it was bothersome to me. Long story short, the man was prosecuted in 2009. By January of 2010, he did serve 5 years in prison.
Good.
While there, he had a heart attack. He lived through it. And ironically, when I got married on February 14th on Valentine's Day 2015, he got out at prison that same month. So it was just kind of, you know, I turned over this new leaf of being introduced back into the heterosexual world, if you will. And at the same time, the man that I felt had been a big reason for many of my poor choices in life had been released from the prison walls that same month. So, and he still lives in the same town in which I live, which isn't that big of a town. In reality, it's a little over 100,000 people. In fact, my wife and I were just in his neighborhood doing an errand the other day, and it brought back a lot of memories. But
do you ever think about revenge?
Ever think about what?
Revenge? Do you ever think about revenge when you look at them?
Listen,
or know that
they're
in my community kind of thing?
I've not always been a nice person. I've had my moments of where my scars came out. At the age of 21, maybe 22, I was living in town, and I was vengeful. I blackmailed him for a lot of money, and he paid me. I'm not proud of those moments, but at the same time, I was an addict who needed his fix. Long story short, he ended up telling my mother what happened, because he went to her and he said, "You've got to make him stop," because I was draining his bank account.
Wow.
So that was kind of how my voice came out with my mother. I know you had mentioned in the beginning of this interview that I found my voice. And, you know, my voice came over time. It wasn't just one day I had this voice. Sexual abuse is something that people don't talk about, especially men, I find, because, you know, unfortunately, in my case, it blurred the lines, and it allowed me to continue having gay sex, if you will, which ultimately led me, because of my own stupid choices, you know, of not wearing condoms, not being safe about stuff, led me to contracting the AIDS virus at the age of 27. You had said earlier about the AIDS epidemic. Yes, I did survive it, but it wasn't that I was not scathed by the disease.
So just let me jump on back to what you said. So this guy who had been molesting you, and you're draining his bank account and blackmailing him. Yep. So his only recourse at that time, you got him to the point of where he had to go to your mom and really, did he disclose everything that he did and why you were blackmailing him to your mother?
You know, I don't know how much he disclosed to my mother. But the fact is, he told her that he had been sexually involved with me when I was a youth. You know, my mom and I don't talk. She's still around. She, in fact, lives with my wife and I, and we don't talk about those earlier days. All I know is that it opened a door for me. You know, for him, when he went to my mom and told her, and then she in turn confronted me, it was an open door, and I don't remember there being any, you know, pointing of fingers that I needed to stop blackmailing him. But it was an open door, and a door that I walked through for communication. So it was kind of the beginning of my voice.
Congrats. When did sobriety come into play, and how did you actually get there?
Sobriety is not easy for most, and it surely wasn't easy for me either. I ended up at my mother and grandmother's home. They had a home together in 1998. I'd stopped by there to raid their refrigerator like drug addicts do, because I had no money of my own, because all my money went to drugs. I raided their refrigerator. I remember laying down on their couch that day, and I ended up being there for the next 13 years. I became deathly ill. They weren't sure what was wrong with me. My mother helped care for me. I went to the hospital, and I learned real quickly in the hospital, they don't offer you cocaine or methamphetamines. They don't give you alcohol. They don't offer you heroin. So as an addict, I had no other choice but then to become sober. I think it was all preordained by a higher power that I was in the hospital for a month between two hospitals. And during that time, I became sober. It was really an inadvertent choice of mine, but it was my choice not to look back. I find that addicts have a hard time recovering in the same town in which they became an addict. However, I was different. I did confine myself to a bedroom. I stayed away from people for a while until I felt strong enough to press forward. I've run into people that I used to party with in town, and it's very sad because I see what drugs has done to them. I see their drawn faces. Many of them, I'm sure, are dead. But that's how I became sober. It was really an inadvertent choice of mine.
It takes a lot of strength to become sober. And faith. It takes a tremendous amount of strength and faith to be able to do that, you know, especially in a town where you know everybody and you can easily slip backwards.
That's sure.
Yeah, hold that thought, everybody. More with Michael when we get back.
It's a major accomplishment.
Yep. You got to take a quick break. There's so much to talk about with you, Michael, so hang tight with me, brother.
Sure, thanks.
Bring the wisdom and knowledge of William Michael Forbes and his spiritual team into your everyday life with one of the three mediumship courses designed around spiritual enlightenment. There is always someone with us, waiting for us to ask questions and for us to open up our ears and eyes to receive the much-needed guidance and support that this world cannot always provide. Take the journey with William Michael Forbes and explore further, for what your eyes see and your ears hear are but a tiny part of the great and the wonderful mystery of your being. Visit www.williammichaelforbes.com for more information on how to connect with William and embark upon the journey of deliberately connecting with your guides, angels, and other ascended beings. Open the door at www.williammichaelforbes.com. That's www.williammichaelforbes.com. www.williammichaelforbes.com. Get excellent insight and spiritually motivating teachers with Frank DeVersa, the number one international best-selling author, Spiritually Raw in the 21st Century. Frank DeVersa was an agnostic for 20 years and has been on a spiritual journey ever since incurring a serious illness in 1997. The illness inspired him to renew his faith in God and view spirituality and life in a more enlightened way. Spirituality in the 21st century will expand one's perspective and horizons to cultivate positive human qualities such as tolerance, generosity, and love. To get your copy of Spirituality in the 21st Century by Frank DeVersa, go to www.frankdeversa.org. That's www.frankdeversa.org.
Has your relationship gotten a little stale? Have you gotten stuck in a rut, perhaps starting to take each other for granted? Then it's time to spruce things up with this 8-week self-guided program that is based on 40-plus years of research on what makes relationships successful. Karen Weary, licensed marriage and family therapist, guides you through this program where each week you will receive a video about a particular principle and a worksheet to give to process what you're focusing on that week. For more information, go to www.insightscounselingcenter.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much, Mr. Michael J. Black. And so, Michael, diving right in here to, so now you've gone from all of that, you know, sexually being abused as a child and, coming out of, being a drug addict and, you know, finding your sobriety, and congratulations for that.
Thank you. Now
you're married to a woman you love. So would that, I mean, are you no longer gay? No feelings towards the opposite sex or same sex at all?
Well, look, it's not that I don't have feelings towards the opposites that are the same sex. The thoughts are always there. The mind is a crazy thing, you know, and my mind can go there just like I think most men can with members of the opposite sex. The difference is that these days I make the choice, because that's really where this book that I've written revolves around, is it's about our choices in life. But I make that choice not to act on those thoughts. Sexual addiction as well it's not something that happens overnight. It's how you choose to live your life and the choices that you make that help to dictate your sexual and spiritual future. The thoughts are there. My wife's very well aware. I'll tell you kind of a funny thing. My wife and I'll be walking through the mall or down the street or something, and a nice looking guy will walk by it. We'll joke between us, okay, just keep looking straight forward. Just keep looking straight forward. But we like to joke about it. But, you know, the thoughts are there. The difference is I just don't act on them. My wife has turned my life around. Yes, it's a higher power that made it all possible. Thank you. But my wife came to me just out of nowhere, really. Well,
she sounds like an amazing lady.
Well, let me tell you, you know, a man who's lived now with AIDS this year, 28 years, we're not talking HIV, we're talking full-blown AIDS. My higher power gave me a nurse as a wife. She's Aww. A nurse. She teaches teaches others to Aww. Be it. She's a nursing instructor. She's the most compassionate, loving. She just came to me so pure and honest. And
she's like an angel.
She's like my – well, I joke about that with people too, that I feel like God picked her out from heaven just for me and dropped her in my lap.
Aww.
And, you know, we have – our marriage is normal in every sense of the word. Oftentimes I'm asked the question, how do you guys have sex? We have it just like you do. You know, we just had been – we had been real safe about having sex. But I want to say, you two, before we don't have – I know we don't have a lot more time, that living with HIV and AIDS today is a chronic, manageable disease. Yes, there is no cure for HIV and AIDS. There is precautionaries that you can use. But today I live in what's called an undetectable state of my health, meaning that when the – lab people look at my disease under their microscope, they don't see it. That means that my disease, I don't have to worry all the time about scratching myself and bringing blood and afraid that other people might freak out about it, which has been a thing. I live in a state of I'm undetectable, untransmittable, which is a huge advance in medicine these days.
That is huge. Can I ask you, before we close, you said your life was born once, born again, but not in the spiritual, I mean, not in the religious sense of the word. What is your perspective of God and religion?
Well, listen, as a believer in Christ, there is a thing as being reborn, like putting your past behind you, putting all your darkness behind you and moving into the light. I can say that at a young age, at 8 years of age, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. That's not to say that I wasn't spared, you know, heartache and torment and sexual abuse and trials. So at a young age, I was reborn. But at the same time, I walked through a lot of trails that maybe I shouldn't have or was drawn into. As far as my adult life being reborn, you know, I feel like I've gone from many lives. I've lived in the gay world. I've lived in the gay world. I've lived in the bisexual world. I've lived in these different worlds. And I think that we as humans every day should be reborn into the day. We need to press forward and just do the best we can. Turn over, as you said earlier, turn over a new leaf and be let yourself be reborn. Being reborn, I don't believe, is just specifically for those of a faith. You know, I think we should all reinvent ourselves and find that happy place within our hearts to press forward.
Right on, buddy. Right on. Okay. Michael, we just got about a minute left here in the show. Can you just, would you like to leave our audience with some just final words from you and also let everybody know where they can get happy endings and a new beginning?
Sure. What I want to say again, I said earlier, life is about choice. We all make them. In fact, the average adult makes upward of 35,000 choices a day. Children make about 3,000. I believe it's our choices that dictate the trajectory of our life, meaning which way and the way in which our lives go. And so oftentimes we don't think about our choices. We just do it. And that sometimes makes us land in hot water. I know for myself that's been the case. I want to encourage others to think about the choices that you're making, because it's those choices that will dictate your life.
Well,
very well
said. As far as the book goes.
Yes. Hold on, everybody. Hold that applause, because we got to hear this. You're going to want to hear where you can get this book. Yeah. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, you can get the book currently at barnesandnoble.com. If they don't have it, you can go to their counter and request it. As well, amazon.com. I will say that Amazon right now has it on sale, so that's the route I would take. Though Barnes & Noble has been really good to me. So thank you so much,
yeah.
You two.
Yeah, you got it. You got it, everybody. Okay, so Michael J. Black, everybody, happy endings and a new beginning. Barnes & Noble or Amazon. Again, Amazon has it on sale, so check it out and buy the book. Thank you, Michael, for being on here. You're a gentleman. It was really great to get to chat with you. And wish you all the love in the world, brother. Yeah. Really do. And, I really enjoyed it on this end. Hope everybody else did.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.